This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. It is a beautiful, cold Monday morning, and we are excited as always to be...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all. In really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Talking some Green Bay Packers right here every day on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Of course, again, you can always get it on thefanmilwaukee.com or on the free Odyssey app. And again, we do have Mason Crosby with Mitch Thunder Nellis coming up from 9 to 11 today on the Mason Crosby Show. So stick around for that as well. But right now, the wonderful Sarah Kelleher of the Pack-A-Day podcast. You can find her on social media at Sarah Kelleher 4. You can find her on the Thursday shows, with Dusty Evely and Steve Perhatch. Sarah, great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me again, Andy. Always fun to do this with you.
Yeah, it is always fantastic as well. I did screw that up. It is Wednesdays. All right. I want to talk about a variety of different things. I want to start off, me and Tommy were talking in the first segment about the possibility of the Packers potential, or not the Packers, but the NFL potentially changing the kick return rules back, or not back, but potentially going from the 30-yard line to the 35-yard line as the touchback, and then also maybe just moving it back 5 yards so it's easier for more returns. What say you, A, on how the kick return rules are set up right now? And let me just give you the pen and paper and the NFL officials hat like Rob Lowe, and you get to change the rule any way that you want. How would you change this kick return rule?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Andy. This is a rule that doesn't necessarily move me one way or another. You know, I mean, looking at best kick returners in yards last year, it was from Dallas and Carolina. So it's two teams that are not necessarily Super Bowl contenders, so I don't think it makes or breaks a team too much, but I want to see more kicks returned. I think that's a fun part of the game. It feels like it rarely happens. I know that last year it was up. Kicks were returned 32% of the time, up from about 21% the year before. So, hey, whatever they're going to do to be able to make the game a little more fun, obviously keeping player safety in mind, but this isn't one thing that in the offseason I'm losing sleep over and going to be really upset whatever the NFL decides to do.
Yeah, I'm pretty much there with you. We talked about a variety of things of just keeping it the way that it is, of, again, making either the rule 5 yards back or 5 yards more on the return or on the touchback. I'm more of just like, you know what, if we're going to get to this point where it gets so gimmicky, maybe you just have a team start at the 25. But I ultimately agree with your assessment. Like, it's such a small, minute portion of the game, especially at this point with the rules that they have already made for it. I'm not a huge fan of a team just getting the ball at the 35-yard line to start. I get that you're trying to incentivize that not being the case, but it does feel very aggressive where, like, especially now, like, you've got the, you know, Aubrey in Dallas that's kicking like 70-yard field goals. Like, you need a first down and you get 3 points already. So I think I'm a little bit more against that, but just figure something out, stick with it, and hopefully they can figure out something that makes sense moving forward.
100%. I'm with you.
All right, Sarah, we also were going to talk about in the first hour, but didn't get to it. So I want to get your thoughts on this here. The NFL is also looking at maybe going with more replay assist. So some of the things that they're considering is adding more replay assistance for roughing the passer penalties that are clear and obvious, you know, that the refs on the field got it wrong. Face mask fouls, other significant penalties. Would you be for or against the expansion of replay assist to maybe get some of those calls right in more real-time situations?
I would be for it as long as they're getting the calls right. It feels like as the NFL integrates more of this technology that oftentimes they're getting it wrong, or, you know, then they're not able to change the play on the field. And so I'm all for, hey, let's be more accurate in our officiating as long as they're actually using the technology and it's allowed in the field of play. I think there's been too many times where we've seen the replay as viewers and it's, you know, very clearly a face mask or very clearly not a roughing the passer penalty. And so if this sort of technology is going to help, you know, make that a bit clearer to the referees that are down on the field, then I think it's a good thing. But if it's just going to make fans angrier because there's more missed calls, then what's the point?
It does feel like we've gotten to that point with replay that you had all of this technology and you have all these eyes on it and you can do it in extra slow motion, and then you still don't get it right at the end. It feels more frustrating, where it's almost like if there was none of it and it was human error, you'd be like, all right, well, the referee got it wrong, but like, it's human error in real time. I sort of get it. Now they get it wrong, and it's like you had all of this technology and you still couldn't see that Oren Burks had a helmet-to-helmet hit on Keisha Nixon and that the Packers clearly recovered the kick. Like, can we not get this figured out, please?
Yep, exactly. No, it's super frustrating. So if these, you know, new aspects of technology are going to help reduce that frustration, then sign me up. I couldn't want this anymore. But if it's just going to be more of a headache, then I think just leave it as it is, because it is what it is, as much as I hate saying that.
Yeah, I'm more for this. I think the replay assist has been really good, but I am cautiously optimistic, and we'll see if the NFL can actually get it right. We're being joined by Sarah Kelleher of the Packaday Podcast. You can find her on social media at SarahKelleher4. All right, I had a podcast I did over the weekend, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because I'm very interested to see what the Packers are going to do along the offensive line, where I think theoretically with Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan, Elton Jenkins, Zach Tom, even if you don't bring back a Josh Myers, you feel like you have a starting offensive line, like you have five guys who can start, but you don't really have much depth. I think you'd love some competition. If you're Brian Gutekunst in this situation, Sarah, how aggressive do you want to see Goody be in upgrading and bringing in competition for this offensive line? Or do you feel pretty good and you feel more like, hey, they just need a couple depth pieces?
Yeah, we actually talked about this a little bit on our Packaday show on Wednesdays a week or two ago, not too long, and we got a question about this. And, you know, I said, if you're looking on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being most aggressive and 1 being least, I think I'd put the Packers right in the middle at 3. Like you said, sure. they have, and especially looking at other teams around the league, you look at those 5 guys, Walker, Jenkins, Brian, Morgan, Tom, and you feel good about that. But you also feel like maybe the Packers could do a little bit better. So I think, you know, looking around, and whether it's a free agency or if there's a really young prospect in the draft that you feel like, hey, we could draft and develop this guy, I think you look. I lean towards, at this point, free agency and looking at that and who's available in the offseason. But I think if you're Goody, you have to make some calls and just see who's available there. You know, the pitch is there, right? This is a organization that is historically good at the O-line position, a team that was, you know, right there in the playoffs. They have a quarterback that's very good at avoiding sacks. They have a great running back in Josh Jacobs. So you could make a pitch to maybe a veteran who's available that, hey, you know, take a little bit less money to come play at a team where you're an instant competitor and in a good situation. But if they're going to want way too much money, then I think you back off a little bit. So I'd say, you know, definitely if I'm Goody, I'm assessing my options. I'm seeing what's out there, but I'm not going to break the bank for the Packers this year to upgrade the O-line.
Yeah, I could see this being something where either maybe they bring back a Josh Myers or make a small sort of, you know, whether it's a, you know, Coleman Shelton at center, like a small investment just to get another player who's had some starting experience just as an option in there, but really kind of primarily upgrading this position and bringing in some competition via the draft, where they've been one of the best draft and developed teams along the offensive line for a long time now. I could easily see them taking 2 or 3 picks on the offensive line just to kind of restock the room and add to that competition rather than going the free agent route and using that free agent money to kind of go out and attack some other positions. One of the other ones that I wanted to talk about, and two players that I quite frankly haven't had an opportunity to spend much time on, but I think it's interesting, you have both Eric Wilson and Isaiah McDuffie that are unrestricted free agents at the linebacker position. They don't really need like any sort of big free agent. They don't really need any sort of big draft pick. You've got Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker, who are probably going to play the vast majority of the snaps. You got a 3rd-round pick in Tyron Hopper a season ago, who's hopefully ready to step into that base linebacker role. But let me just ask you this. If you had to pick one between McDuffie or Wilson to bring back to this team, which one are you choosing and why?
Yeah, this is a tough question because they're two players, you know, some good veteran experience there, but both of them have some clear pros and cons. I tend to lean a little bit more towards McDuffie at this point in time. I think if you would have asked me a year ago, it would have been Wilson, but based off this past season, McDuffie for a few reasons. One is usage. You know, he had almost 100 tackles this season, and that was 2nd on the team, I think, just behind Quay Walker. And then he played about 64% of the Packers' defensive snaps. And then the second is relationships. I know it was just one season under Halfley when he was at Boston College, but those relationships matter and carry over. And he earned a starting job after they switched to the Halfley system immediately. So I think, you know, that goes a long way as well. And then the other is money. I think you can probably pay a little bit less for Isaiah McDuffie than Eric Wilson. They're probably going to go for about the same rate, but I think you might be able to get away with a little bit less given he was a 6th-rounder, hasn't always been a starter. What concerns me about him is the pass coverage, but I'm trying to think like a GM right now and, you know, what puzzle piece fits best to the puzzle, whether it's money, relationships on the team, how they're utilizing him. So I think for the Packers moving forward, McDuffie makes the most sense, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go the other way as well.
Yeah, they could go the other way. They could go with both. They could go with neither. I don't think anything would be super shocking there. I don't necessarily have a preference either. I think there's, like you said, kind of pros and cons to each of them. I did like how Eric Wilson stepped in a pinch, and I think he's a slightly better special teams player, but he's a little bit older too, probably a little bit closer to decline, and McDuffie's still in the prime, and like you said, does have that experience in Jeff Hafley's defense. Also solid special teams player and has definitely filled in a pinch, you know, pretty well in the past as well. So I could go either direction. I like your answer though with Isaiah McDuffie, and I'm just going to lean with you on this one, Sarah. Again, we're joined by Sarah Kelleher, the Packaday podcast. Find her on social media at Sarah Kelleher 4. I've got a fun one for you. If there's an under the radar need for the Packers, what would you say is that under the radar need?
Yeah, we talked about it at the top of the segment here, and you know, I mentioned it's not something that makes or breaks a team necessarily, but it certainly is a nice to have, and that feels like kind of the kick returner, punt returner position. Looking at the past season, 2023, you go from all pro with Mixon to then just it really felt like nothing at times this past year, that the Packers were pretty ineffective in this area of the game. And I don't know about you, Andy, but it personally felt like for me, anytime there was a punt returner, kick returner back there, it just felt like the Packers were kind of holding on for dear life. And, you know, hopefully this works out and then I'll drop it. It just never felt like it was a stable position. And, you know, the Packers the last few seasons have struggled in the special teams realm, besides, you know, additions like McManus. And, I don't know. I think this is, you know, when we're thinking under the radar, this is an area I certainly think they have the guys already. They just need to figure out who's going to do it and have a consistent guy back there and not, you know, throw Jaden Reed, mix up all these other guys. It's just something they got to figure out and be solid on from week one and then through the rest of the season, pending there are no injuries.
It'd be really nice if they could find somebody in the draft, a wide receiver, a corner, somebody that had that, you know, unbelievable return ability, whether it be, you know, hopefully both at kick returner and punt returner. I do think that's something that could have sneaky value for the Packers is, again, getting somebody that is a position of need already, wide receiver and corner, but also having them have that high-end return ability. It could be really, really fun for Green Bay and specifically Rich Bisaccia to have that, and especially if Keyshawn Nixon is of the mind that he doesn't want to return kicks anymore. It could be a much bigger need than what maybe a lot of people are giving it credit for. I love that answer. I want to add another one on top of this that I think is kind of fun, and that is, who is a player that you, Sarah Kelleher, have more confidence in than the average fan, and that you kind of put them in a position where, like, maybe other, you know, fans are thinking, hey, we need a big upgrade here, and you're thinking, like, nope, we're going to be good because this player is better than people think.
Yeah, for me, that guy is Dontayvion Wicks after this season. I know that drops were 100% a problem. I'll be the first to admit, address that. But I'm really hopeful that this is a sophomore slump. He was, if you, you know, look at the numbers, one of the best separators in the NFL this season. He just couldn't catch the ball. So if it clicks and, you know, he's able to continue to separate in coverage, look out. Because if he can get the separation, start bring in some of those catches, then I think he's going to be super dangerous for the Packers. And hey, yeah, I know he seemed pretty upset that Josh Jacobs said the Packers need, you know, number one, kind of an alpha wide receiver, and maybe that lights a fire under him. And really then in year three, he can turn this around and put all the pieces of his game together. But he's a guy I'm just not necessarily ready to count out just yet.
I love that answer. I'm such a huge Dontayvion Wicks guy, and I know he had the down season. He's just following the Davante Adams path where you have to have a down second year in order to break out in year three. Like you said, the separation numbers are absolutely incredible, and he's just far too talented. Like, there's just too much talent there for it to ultimately be a bust, and I do think he hopefully breaks out in a significant way in year three. All right, here's what we have. We have a... on Twitter, I should say, we have a question or comment that came in from one Steve Perhatch, and he said, quote, I love to hear Sarah Kelleher on the Fan Milwaukee. I think she needs her own intro music now, Andy Herman. So, Sarah, when you come back next time, what's your intro music of choice that we have to have Tommy play when you come on?
Oh, no. Putting me on the Thanks, Steve. What else is new? Yeah, it's pretty basic, but I'm a big Taylor Swift fan, so any Taylor Swift will do. That'll always get me pumped up.
All right, you've heard the assignment, Tommy. That's your job moving forward. All right, last question for you, Sarah, before we get you out of here. I've been asking a lot of people this. I want your thoughts as well. Give me your bold offseason prediction for the Green Bay Packers. What's something crazy that you just think might happen this offseason?
My bold prediction is Davante Adams comes back. I think maybe this is more something that I'm just putting in the universe to manifest it. I'm with Kay Adams on this one. I know she's kind of the leader of that idea, but I don't know. I think there's a world where the Packers could make it work. Clearly, he's seen that as far as, you know, I mean, money is a different story, but play and competition, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and there's guys on the Packers that clearly want him back, you know, posting, come home, you know, we've got a spot for you. So, again, it's bold, and the Packers are rarely bold, but if I had to pick and, you know, cross my fingers and hope for something, it would be that. I'm still a huge Davante Adams fan over here.
I did a podcast today of the most likely player to sign with the Packers this offseason at every position. So I went position by position and assigned a player. And my quote on the wide receiver position as a whole and trying to predict who's going to sign with Green Bay is that it's such a pain in the butt. Like, it's so hard to figure out what direction that they could go in this situation because they need a playmaker. There's not a perfect playmaker that's out there. The draft is a little bit weaker at it. And trying to figure out who it could be, I was very, very close to putting Davante Adams. He probably was second on my list. But I do think it's a possibility. I don't think it's out of the realm this impossible situation. I would love to see him back. I think it'd be a ton of fun. I think it'd be a splash free agent signing. And I love, love, love that answer. And I hope you end up being right both on Dontayvion Wicks and on Davante Adams, because that would make for one heck of a wide receiver core in 2025. Sarah, you're the absolute best. Where can we find all of your incredible work and anything you want to plug on the way out?
Yeah, like you said, on the Wednesday show from Pack Day Podcast with Dusty Evely and Steve Perhatch. Love those guys and appreciate everything that, you know, they've always done in support of me. But that's all I'm doing right now. So once a week, definitely tune in. And we're trying to have some fun, get creative in the off season. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Kelleher 4.
I had Tommy edit that part out about complimenting Steve before it hits the air, so he doesn't have to actually know that you said something nice about him. Sarah, you're incredible. I cannot thank you enough. We'll get you your intro music next time you're on, and we'll certainly do it again soon, all right?
All right. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate you.
You bet. Appreciate you as well. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line. It's the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Gray Bar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Gray Bar does that.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.